meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Margie Milam, and I'm very pleased to welcome you to this first meeting of the review team on security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS. It's been a very long time in forming this group, and we certainly apologize for the long time that it took to get the team started. But we're here, and we're really, really eager to get started on this very long agenda that we have for today's call. Turn the slide. Next slide, please. Beautiful. Okay, so we're going to get started by just walking through the agenda for today. This particular call is a little different because as staff, we've sort of helped get the group started. But hopefully, we'll as we get through the agenda, we'll talk about leadership and have a chair for this group so that at future calls will be handled by the leadership of the team. So that'll be something we talk about later in the agenda. So without going through all the details on this agenda, I just wanted to ask if there's anyone that would like to suggest an additional topic for today's call. If so, for those of you that are new to the Adobe Connect room, there's a little man at the top, and you could raise your hand, and that would know that you're in the queue and would like to make a suggestion. And so before we move on to the next part of the agenda, I just wanted to confirm that there wasn't anything else we'd like to add for today's call. All right. Well, hearing none, then we'll proceed with this agenda. And before we get started, I just wanted to let you also know that we do have observers on the call. Under the new bylaws, there's an allowance for observers to observe review team calls. They're not on this Adobe Connect room. They're on a separate room. But we do already have some on this call, so welcome observers. And then because it's been a while since you've applied to become a member of this team, I believe all of you recall that there was a statement of interest as part of the application. I would just like to ask if anyone would like to update their statement of interest since it's been quite a while since it was submitted. And if so, please raise your hand. All right. Well, seeing we'll move on to the next part. So I'd like to start with the introduction for all of you and the staff that will be supporting this team. I'm a vice president at ICANN, and I'm responsible for the oversight of the specific reviews at ICANN. And on the slide, you can see the team that we had here to support you. There's a lot of interesting work that will be conducted and coordinated for this review. And so we have different members with different types of backgrounds from ICANN staff that are here to help you. And without going into all the details, you can see the names on the slide. Karen Mulberry, in particular, will be the she's essentially the project manager for this team. She's the director of the Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives Department. We'll have Jennifer Bryce working as a senior coordinator for you. Bernie Turcotte is a contractor that will be also helping us with this. He's got a very extensive background, particularly in the CC area, the CCNSO type issues. We also have Sharla Shambly, Yvette, and Pamela, all of which will be providing secretariat, administrative, and program support. In addition to the logistics, we also have subject matter experts from ICANN staff that will be helping out, helping you understand the issues that you'll be addressing. And we have Steve Conte from the Office of the CTO, who's a programs director and a subject matter expert that will be also helping this team. So we're all very excited to work with you, and with that, we'll do some introductions of the team itself. And so I'll hand it off to Karen Mulberry, my colleague, who's going to introduce you all and get us started. Karen?
Okay, thank you very much, Margie. And actually, before we get started, there are a number of people who are showing up as just phone numbers in the Adobe room. We actually need you to identify yourself so we can capture that for attendees. There is a 202 number that ends in 0874. There is a 310 number that ends in 859. A 562 number.
The 310 is my David Conrad.
Oh, good morning, David. And welcome. Would you like
good
to
morning.
Say a few words to
you're doing fine.
Okay,
you're
thank
doing
you.
Fine. I don't need to do anything.
All right. And then, let's see, there's a 650 number, ends in 597, a 703 number that ends in 200. And then I've got two users that appear as PGI user and PGI user 2. Can folks identify themselves if those are your numbers?
This is John Crane.
Yes.
John Crane. I didn't hear my number called, so it might be one of those PGI things. 562 is the starting number.
This is Eric Osterweil. I'm the 703-200 number.
And who was that again, please?
Eric Osterweil.
Eric. Okay, very good. Thank you. We just want to make sure that we have a good record of who is on the call. All right, well, the PGI users and the person that's 202 ends in 874. If you can identify yourself, that would be great. Anyway, back to the slide deck from the commercial break that we just had. Here are the review team members, so you can get familiar with each other and the names. The SO and AC affiliation and the region that you identified that you're coming from. We also have a board-appointed liaison, so right now the review team stands at 16 members. So congratulations to everyone. Now, John, I'm going to ask you if you'd like to make any comments.
I think you're doing good. I think you're doing good there, but I just wanted to let everybody know that me and my team are available if they need them throughout this effort, and quite happy to get out of the way if they don't.
All right. Thanks very much, John. I'm sure that we will be interacting with you and your team quite a bit as the team and the review team itself goes into framing its work and starts investigating, researching, and addressing some of the things that they've uncovered. So thank you very much. Okay, moving on, one of the most important things that we need to do is determine the leadership of the review team. Now, the review team or the team members determine their own leadership. Now, you can determine if you want to have a single chair and vice chairs. Do you want to have co-chairs? And so all of that is going to be up to you in terms of how you would like to structure the review team. This is just some scope and responsibilities actually that came out of the CCT review team and how they framed what they wanted to have as the defining moments for their leadership. So this is just to give you some context. And there's also some references in the bylaws for how the review team will approach consensus and how things need to be documented. So that's the citation that's listed there. Now, in terms of looking at the proposed role of the chair, the vice chair, the co-chairs, this kind of frames some of the additional, responsibilities for that role or roles. And it's provided more for you to think about. in terms of interest in that role, or how would you like your leadership to lead the team? Now, in terms of the SSR2 leadership process, I have some questions here for you to maybe help think through so that you can form and determine what your leadership ought to be. What process do you want to undertake to select the leaders? And in essence, do you want it to be a chair, a co-chair, chair and vice chairs? How do you want that structure to be for the review team itself? And then moving on, how do you want to open up the call for leadership? How should expressions of interest in having a role in a leadership team be noted? Can we do those by email, where people will indicate that they're interested in a particular role? Once the review team itself has defined the structure it would like to have, then how long should this process take? Should it be open for a week? Is it something you can conclude by email before Copenhagen? Do you want to do it in Copenhagen? And then finally, do you want to select a chair, co-chair, or someone? We haven't solidified the leadership for the team at this point, to be responsible for running the public consultation meeting on the 12th of March. Now, I see we had a couple of hands up. Don, I see you, then Emily, and then Denise. Please. Okay, Don's mic is not working. Let's move to Emily, and hopefully we can correct Don's microphone. If not, Don, maybe you can type in what you want to say in the chat, and we can read it. Emily.
Thank you. Can you hear me, Karen?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Oh, good, because I've never managed to get my mic to work before, so that's a huge victory. Thank you very much for you and to Margie for setting up this meeting and the team and getting us started. I just wanted to try and pitch in to give some answers or some responses, rather, to the questions that you've very helpful. Having been through a review team of the Who Is Review the last time round, is that this is a substantial piece of work. And looking at the more recent work with the IANA transition, it seemed that co-chairs has been a system that's worked very well. So, and I see that that there's already some chat along the same line. So it would just really to be to pitch into that, and you know, perhaps people can have a think about it, and it might be a bit soon for people to rush forward now and offer to take on this sort of responsibility, but perhaps it could be something that we can pick up on the email list. I'm not sure whether we can get it sorted in time for the Copenhagen meeting. I think a lot depends on the expressions of interest from the team, but that's just my 2 cents. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. And I should also note, too, that there are several review team members who are unable to make this time slot. I know the call was set up rather quickly. We thought it would be useful to get everyone together, or at least as many people as we could get together to have a chat before we meet in Copenhagen. So there may be others that have input or are an interest that are not on this call, so we need to be aware of that as well. Don, do you have your mic fixed at this point? All right, let's move on to Denise, please.
Karen?
Yes.
I think I finally figured it out.
Oh, Don's with it. All right. Sorry, Denise, we'll pick you up later. We're after done. Please, Don.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question. Hello? Have I got the noise cleared up here?
I can hear you fairly well, Don. There's a little bit of background noise.
Okay. I couldn't hear what you said there.
I was just going to say, if your microphone is working, please go ahead and speak. And then we'll move on to
Okay.
Muhammad.
All right. Now, I pretty much put what I thought and what others have reflected. This project has a very broad scope, which is an understatement. And it's got a comparatively short timeline. So I really think that the co-chair route is going to be the way to go.
Okay, thank you, Don. Denise? Denise, are you muted?
Can you hear me?
Ah, now I can hear you, yes.
All right. I also agree that that a co-chair approach would be useful, although I would also be supportive of a chair and vice chair. I think it would be useful to continue this on email. As you noted, there are several members who weren't able to be on this call. I think it would be useful if staff gave us a brief outline of ideas of what past reviews and other working groups, how the responsibilities have been divided or the responsibilities of chairs, co-chairs, and vice chairs to make sure people who may not have been involved in the past understand broadly what the responsibilities may be. That will also give review team members an opportunity to add any additional responsibilities, suggest any additional responsibilities they'd like vice chairs or chairs or co-chairs to have. I would also suggest that we use the email list to allow people to volunteer for positions if they're interested, and then use our face-to-face meeting to resolve that and select the appropriate people for the appropriate position. So I would suggest all of that be handled via email, and that volunteers note why they're interested and any relevant experience they would like the team to note. I'm sort of running down your list on the slide. So I would suggest that we start now with this activity, have staff send some background info on what they feel the broadly the positions entail, and have any discussions that is necessary about that, and then encourage people who are interested to volunteer on the list. I would suggest that we have a goal of resolving this at our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. I realize that would leave the March 12th consultation without an official chair, co-chair, or vice chair. But again, I think we can handle that with volunteer rapporteurs, and I'm happy to help in that vein. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. We made note of those, based on the direction, I had hoped to send out an email to everyone with these questions. Mohammed, your comments, please.
Can you call me Amin? Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
All right. So I do agree with what Denise. I think we should meet up in Copenhagen to introduce ourselves to each other and know more about each other's. Then maybe proceed on email, or maybe have some type of vote. I don't know. But be a good start for us to just start to getting in touch and knowing each other face to face. And we can continue with the rest, and of course the people who are not able to attend through email, etc. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right, we have an action item, and make sure that this gets out to the email list, the questions and the ask. And hopefully you can have a great discussion on the list. And when we come together in Copenhagen, I will make sure that it's on the agenda, and hopefully you can have it resolved at that point. So someone can take over. Yes?
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, this is Alan. I just want to make sure that someone is monitoring. I just want to make sure that someone is monitoring the chat room, because we have been responding in chat room as well. So just to make sure that you are also following what is going on in the chat.
Yes, I am. And I have noted the interest to move forward with this discussion in Copenhagen. And there seems to be some preference for co-chairs as the leadership. So I will capture all of that in a summary note that goes out to everyone, so that the review team members who weren't able to participate have some context as to what the ask is and some of the dialogue that occurred with the members who were on the call today. Any other comments? Okay, next portion is just administrative information, things that will be helpful to you as the review team comes together and you start thinking about your work. I see a hand was raised.
Excuse me, this is Alain again.
Yes, please.
This is Alain again, can I? Yes, can we, on the action item, can we set the timeline? So when are we open a call? Yes, can we put some timeline? When are we open call for on the lease, and when are we closing it? Can we add something on the timeline?
Okay, what is the review team's preference? When would you like to open the call for expressions of interest for the leadership? And when would you like to have it closed?
This is Denise.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Denise?
Yes. So I'll throw a suggestion out there. I would suggest that if today staff can send out to the email list a brief outline of the traditional responsibilities of chair, co-chairs, vice chairs, to allow people to discuss that. But I would also suggest, unless there's objections, that we ask team members to that we open the, as we consider these responsibilities, that we also open the sort of self-nomination or nomination period for these positions, with an eye towards making a decision at our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. And if it seems like we're not ready at Copenhagen, we can then, I think, decide then when to close this consideration. That would be my suggestion.
Care, you have your hand up?
Hi, it's Karen. I just had a typo, so it ended up being her. I think I agree with Denise, but I'd probably do one variation. I think if you do circulate the responsibilities and the requirements of the chair and co-chair, we could either have on the floor self-nominations during the meeting and then give a window of maybe a week after the person to submit any further self-nomination or nomination by peer. And then we could, within a two-day window, I think everyone be required either to do a online poll or just submit their preference as to who the chair and co-chair should be. And I think a week after Copenhagen should be.
Okay. Any other comments? Denise, I see your hands back up again.
No, I just didn't take it down.
Old hands. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a lot of food for thought. What I'm hearing is that staff should send out a note. I'll make sure we get this done this afternoon. We'll outline the positions. We'll outline some of the discussions. Ensure that the questions that are in the presentation are also noted for the full review team to consider. I'm assuming then that the expressions of interest in the leadership position would be open then with that note going out to the team. And then we'll leave the closure of that for your discussion in Copenhagen. Does that sound like a sufficient plan?
This is Denise. I'll then modify my suggestion and agree with the other comments that, particularly since I see in the window that there are members that haven't gotten their visas yet for Copenhagen, and we may not have a full complement of team members there, that we set an expectation to have this open for, say, a week after Copenhagen as well, to make sure that we accommodate everyone's schedules and everyone has a chance to participate.
Okay. Well, and that's why I kind of left it a little open-ended, because not all review team members may be able to participate in a face-to-face meeting. We are working to enable that wherever possible, but we cannot guarantee that. So we can have a discussion then as to what your next steps might be based on the pool that have expressed interest and how you want to approach it in Copenhagen. And it may be determined that the best approach is to do online polling at the meeting or to keep it open for another week, and we can reconvene on another call to finalize the selection and the leadership criteria. Emily, I believe you have your hand up.
Sorry, I just didn't put it down. I was trying to do something else.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, not a problem. Anyway, what I have in front of you is just some administrative information. We have a dedicated wiki page for the SSR2 review team, and RT stands for review team. Here's your email list, and only the review team members are subscribed to that. Now, note that the email will be archived, and this is the archive list should you need to go back and research something. Go in the wrong direction. And I wanted to give you a little context in terms of the role of observers for this review team. It's captured in the bylaws that review teams will include an open number of observers. So as a result of that, all of the applicants that applied for the SSR2 review team who were not selected were offered an opportunity to subscribe to the observer list. Many indicated that they were interested and would like to be on that list. So we do have a separate list for them where they have been subscribed we have a separate wiki page for the SSR2 observers, and that's the link to that page. Now, some decisions that the review team members will need to make, and there again, these are questions to think about, not necessarily something that needs to be answered right now. How do you want to work with the observers? Do you want to give them an open spot on every agenda so they have an opportunity to speak? Because right now, the observers are in a separate Adobe room where they can listen to the discussion of the review team, but they don't interact with the review team members. Now, if they raise questions in their chat, how do you want to consider that written input from them? And should there be specific sessions of the review team where you're going to want to close everything off and not have observers? So just something to think about in terms of organizing the group and how you would want to address those points. There's also a specific email address out there for the community to provide feedback to the SSR2 review team, and there's the email list or the address for that list so that we can receive input from everybody, and then it can be presented to the review team to consider to manage in whatever shape you think is the most appropriate to undertake. Care, you've got your hand up.
I was just wondering, did we include on the agenda to probably address this question? Because I think during the face-to-face, at least we could ventilate it a little bit, because if the work of the team has a specific timeline, we have to say whether or not we have the observers submit their comments just for consideration, and then it's considered during a review period, like we would take public comments and observer comments at the same time. Because it would be a little bit tricky, maybe based on the type of comments we receive, we could then decide if we needed to probably have a face-to-face with the observers to at least get their input or feedback. But I think during the Copenhagen meeting, if possible, we could at least ventilate it a little bit more. Those who aren't able to attend from the team, we could then probably try again to have an online meeting to share with them the outputs from the face-to-face on this topic in particular.
Okay, Kathy, I see that you have your hand up.
Thank you, Karen. Just a quick question. Is how were observers handled in some of the past working groups when this has taken place?
They've comments have been collected from the observers room and read into the meeting of the review team so that they could be considered and discussed. There are observers that will participate in face-to-face meetings. In those agendas, there's been time allotted to the observers to speak, or in some cases, observers have been granted access to speak along with the review team members on topics. I know in different groups, there isn't anything real difference between an observer or a participant unless it comes down to final decision-making, and then the observers are not part of that. Carrie Ann, I see you've got your hand up.
Okay.
Oh, and your hand went down. Okay. I mean, this is not something that needs to be decided right now. But it's something that the review team itself, as it frames what its processes and its working methods need to be, you need to consider the role of the observers and what you're trying to accomplish here. I see a hand up, Margie, and then I'm probably going to butcher your name, so I apologize for that. Montego? No. Sorry, I have a very fat Midwestern U.S. tongue. Margie, please.
Yes, to answer the question about how observers have been involved in the past, I just wanted to highlight that there's actually a shift in thinking on observers as a result of the new bylaws that were adopted after the transition. That was a pretty heavily negotiated part of the transition with the, I think, the intended purpose of giving observers a bigger presence and participation than has been in the past. That's not to say that the observers would have all the rights that a review team member has. That's certainly not the case. But I think it's something that you may want to keep in mind as we, you know, come up with the best way to include them in the process. And to give you an example of what's happening, for example, with the review team on competition, consumer choice, and trust, what they typically do is in their face-to-face meetings, they'll actually set aside time in the agenda, perhaps at the end of a segment, to have a open mic kind of a thing where, you know, they solicit input from the observers in the room or the observers that are remote. And so that might be something you think about as you, you know, consider what their role might be. And so I just wanted to share that information with you.
Okay, and the next person, whose name I apologize that I butchered terribly.
This is Matto Bora.
I hear you. Thank you so much for that.
Say that I think for the observer and we're hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry, we can no longer hear you. Maybe you can type your comment in the chat so everyone can see it. But this is just something else that the review team itself needs to consider, and we'll add that to the agenda then for the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. Okay, the question was you wanted a guide on how observers are treated in past review teams. I think maybe we can collect some of that and share that information with you to help in your decision making as to how you would want to set up the process for observers to engage in the work in this review team. All right, I'd like to turn this over to Steve Conte to tell you a little bit about the background materials. Steve?
Great. Thanks, Karen. Karen, before I speak more, I just want to confirm, is this slide deck available to everyone on this call? Otherwise, I will madly start pasting URLs into the chat room.
It will be posted on the wiki page as soon as we're done.
Okay, thank you. So this is, as we all know, this is just a preliminary call with the review team and a welcome and all that. So this is going to be just a high-level discussion on the pointers on where the material, existing material, will be for both background and SSR1. As you know, we did our first SSR1 review a number of years ago, and the final report is the first link there that will cover the outcome and the findings of the first review team. And then the quarterly, and that report then was submitted to the board, and the board decided to take action, I think, on all the items. I'm not sure. I wasn't here for that review process. The second link we see here, the SSR1 quarterly implementation reports, was a reporting scheme from staff to show where we stood on all those. I invite you all to take a look at that. I understand that part of this process for SSR2 is to look back at the SSR1 recommendations and, so we don't reinvent the wheel, and then need to make sure that the implementations that were asked to take action on from the board were actually implemented. And then finally, the last link is probably the most dynamic link. This is a bucket of various background documents that we have either uploaded or will be uploading more. These are documents that we think would be of interest to the review team. As we come across more or create more, we will be posting them there. Something to think about while between now and Copenhagen is please look through this, and if there's something that you feel should be included in there that we can either find or maybe create by Copenhagen, please let us know, either myself or Karen, and we'll see if we can find the right documentation to put there. So again, the last link will probably be the most dynamic. That's we'll be putting publicly accessible documentation. If we get to the point where we have closed sessions, we will discuss where that documentation can lie as well then. Thank you. Karen?
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. I see a hand up. Mr. Matagori, do you have a comment, or is that an old hand? All right, Elaine? Your comment, please?
Can you hear me?
Ah, now I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, can you hear me? Okay, Steve, I have a question for you. It looked like the first review was on DNS, and this review is more broader, must talk about all the unique identifier. Is this correct?
Yeah, the first review actually, my understanding was that it spanned beyond just DNS. There was certainly DNS in it. And recommendations were made around the DNS, but I believe there were also some aspects that went beyond DNS and went beyond the SSR team's, John Crane's team, scope of work within the organization, too. So it was a more broader scope of recommendations.
Elaine, do you have your hand up? Okay, hands down. Denise, I see your hand up.
Yes. Just to follow up on the question that was asked, the SSR 1 review team conducted a review under the affirmation of commitments on the security, stability, resiliency of the DNS. I think it would be helpful if staff could include a link in the background materials that, or just take that original AOC language and drop it in the background materials so people have that point of reference in terms of what the SSR, the guiding bylaw language for the SSR review, I think might be helpful. And of course, language is a bit different in the current bylaws that guide our review.
Thank you, Denise. And actually, that is something that we will cover as we get more into some of the work items itself, because the language in the bylaws frames what the review should be about. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, moving along. Now, here is a very rough estimate of what the roadmap for SSR 2 looks like. So knowing that we need to be flexible with plans and align work with what the community workload is, your workload, and then, work within it. So I've tried to look at what might be a reasonable schedule of when you might want to have face-to-face meetings and knowing that you can have conference calls and other activities in between these options. So this is just a guide, and as you start thinking about your schedule and how you want to work, something to think about. Now, and then the most important thing is to look at future meetings. We've got the face-to-face meeting plan in Copenhagen on the 15th. We've got a public consultation session on the 12th. So how do you want to schedule teleconferences? Do you want to do something weekly? Do you want to rotate time zones? Because we have members on the review team from across the globe. So we need to be very aware of different time zones such that we don't disenfranchise one group that always has to get up at 3 in the morning and not share the pain amongst all of us in this process. So something to think about. And I did wanted to go into an opportunity that has come up, and I have made arrangements for the next face-to-face meeting in May in Madrid, and that's the 12th through the 16th. And you may ask why. Well, I will turn this over to Steve Conte to explain as soon as, let's see, Don and Denise both have their hands up. So Denise, please, and then Don.
Thanks, Karen. I would like to suggest that we address these issues at our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. Can people hear me? There's a lot of static on the line. Hello. Can people hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Great. I would suggest that we address these details at our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen in terms of the frequency of calls, the timing, the rotation, and all of that. Since you've brought up Copenhagen, could you give us a little more background on sort of staff thinking of holding a public consultation prior to our face-to-face meeting and what you were, you know, some more thinking behind that? It seems a little counterintuitive to have our first public session before we have our first private face-to-face session. But so it'd be useful just to hear your sort of thinking about that. Thanks.
I can. So if you give me a couple of slides, because that's the next item up is the sessions at ICANN 58. So I can give you a little background on why this came about the way it did. And what the session, at least in what I was envisioning, the session being. Don, you have your hand up? I believe you're muted, Don.
I had to unmute. I think a lot of what we're talking about here is going to be best addressed at our face-to-face meeting and email. My first thought, though, is that when we get started, I would suggest we do meetings just until we get the process going and see what works out best. They don't have too many to start and too few.
Yes, and frankly, my intent was to just point out things that the review team members need to think about. And then when you get together, you can have a discussion about how you want to schedule meetings and what approaches you want to take. Emily, you have your hand up?
Yes, thank you. Partly to say I think I'm agreeing with a lot of the comments that have been made that it's really useful to just have your questions here so that we can all reflect on them before we have our first meeting. And to just respond to Denise's point, and sorry if this is going to be covered in what you're just about to say, Karen, but I don't really see a problem with having a public session before our first face-to-face if it's a kind of listening mode, and that's an opportunity for members of the ICANN community to you know, to speak out about what they feel the this review team ought to be covering and some of the challenges that they perceive, and that will be, I think, potentially very useful for us as we sit down to our first meeting together to have those thoughts in our mind, as well as the more administrative things that we'll need to cover and our scope as well, of course. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. You have your hand up?
Yeah, just kind of onto a little bit onto what Emily said. It's an interesting opportunity to hear what the public has to say before we've made our minds up about what we think they're going to have to say. You don't get that opportunity that often. So I think it's a nice use of the time if it's available. We had a late start for any number of reasons. And I think versus skipping the opportunity, we should take advantage of it. That's all. Thank you.
Denise, you have your hand up?
Yeah, since I've spurred some discussion. My question about the order certainly was not to suggest at all that we shouldn't have public consultations, and I'm really glad we're able to take advantage and get input. I think the normal course of review teams is to have an initial sort of face-to-face discussion and tee up, make sure that people are on the same page in terms of understanding the background, the objectives of the review, start tease out some very broad areas they want to learn more about, as well as then open it up for any, you know, questions and contributions from the community. I'm really glad we're able to take advantage of Copenhagen. I think the order of our face-to-face meeting and the public consultation, though, will necessitate members, I think, reading more of the background information, using the email list a little bit more before our March 12th session to help everyone get up to speed to make sure that it's, I think, the most productive session it could be. And, Karen, if there is additional background, it sounds like you have some more background on that. It would also be good to hear. Thanks.
Yes, and we need to move a little quicker if we can because we're running out of time. Anyway, I'd like Steve Conte to explain the DNS symposium. And hopefully you can get this on your calendars now. I thought this would be of value for the review team because it's on the DNS. It's going to be focused on security. And Steve, explain us what the symposium is all about, and therefore I can go into the review team meeting afterwards.
Absolutely. We're still working on a draft agenda, so if you go to that link at the bottom there, you'll only see the expression of at a high level of what this symposium will be. I will tease the draft agenda in a second. We will have probably an official public agenda by the time we get into Copenhagen, but we did want to put this on the roadmap, and Karen had suggested doing a face-to-face while in Madrid while we were all there. We will be covering different aspects. This is a program that's put on by Office of the CTO, and we're going to have a couple different programs in the research, the DNS operations, IANA, SSR, and GDD technical services areas. Research will be including talks on ISO 3166 alpha 2 codes as seen by the roots, various reports on garbage that hits the root servers. Roy Ahrens will be doing something on that. We'll get an update on the technology health indicators that Alain Durand has been working on, and we'll be doing some other parts within research. Introduction to, we have a middle box lab looking at consumer-grade products that are utilizing DNS and how they interact to you, so we'll have an update on that. We'll have some talks about DNS operations, including the LRoot ecosystem and some other ones that we're still working on finalizing. IANA will be giving us a IANA PTI update. Kim Davies will be there. and Punky Duro will be doing a Root KSK Protection and Key Ceremonies talk. As many of you, if not all of you, know, we're in the process of changing the key signing key, the KSK, at the root. So we've been doing a lot of talks around various meetings around the world, talking about the updates on where we are in the KSK rollover. And then we will also have Dave Piscatello from John Crane's SSR group talking about DNS abuse. So we'll have a talk on that. And we will have Gustavo, and I don't have his last name in front of me, I apologize, from GDD Technical Services talking about ICANN's SLA monitoring system. And again, this is just a draft agenda for the day. We're still looking at finalizing, so your mileage may vary with this and subject to change, but I'm hoping to have a publicly available agenda by the time we see each other face-to-face. The other tease on this is that we're going to have plenty of staff from our office of the CTO there, so this would be also, if we can secure time, a good opportunity to have them available if we do have a face-to-face or if we have questions, if you have questions about specific items as we move into the actual review of the EIS SSR.
Okay,
so,
thanks, Steve.
Karen?
We're starting to run out of time, so I'm going to go through the rest of this rather quickly and ask for questions at the end, if that's all right with everyone, just so I can get all of the information in front of you to start thinking about everything. And moving on is the sessions in Copenhagen. And Denise raised a point about the scope of the review. According to the new bylaws, and this is just a summary, this is what SSR2 is to look at. Operational stability, reliability, resiliency, security, global interoperability of systems, processes, internal, external, that affect the Internet's unique identifiers. So we can go into more of that discussion in Copenhagen as to how you see what you want to accomplish within what the bylaws have stated is the focus of the review. Here is just a summary of the sessions in ICANN 58 that have been scheduled. Now, in terms of the public consultation, and frankly, due to the nature of when we were going to actually get a named review team and the timing of everything, it seemed appropriate at least to hold a public consultation to gather input from the community as to what they see are the issues. Initially I was thinking more of it. This would be an open mic session with, if we had a review team, you could facilitate some of the questions and discussion. If not, it would be, I wasn't sure who was going to be doing that. Anyway, but this is the session description I have. And then questions in terms of, do you want review team members to lead the session? Do you want to make an open statement? Do you want this to be an open mic session? So, Alain, I see your hand up. Comments?
Yes. I think what we have on the slide 19, I think cover what I just expressed a few moments ago. I'm reading DNS SSR2 and talking about DNS. Then I'm confused. Are we going to look at DNS or unique identifier? I'm still confused.
Well, I mean, you can look at that in more depth, but the bylaws do mention DNS. It's the security and stability and resiliency of the DNS review. I mean, that is the title of what it is. So how much you want to touch on DNS or unique identifiers or anything else, I'll leave to further discussion. David, you have your hand up?
Yeah, part of this is a little complicated because of a historical, what I personally consider a mistake. The NTIA in the footnote in the affirmation of commitments declared the term DNS to mean what I don't want to say normal people, technical people would call the domain name system, in addition to addressing and protocol parameters. If you look at the original AOC, footnote one makes the term used within the AOC DNS to be much more comprehensive. In general, you should probably, in my view, you should probably think of the security, stability, resiliency of the identifier, the internet system of unique identifiers that are within ICANN's remit as sort of the area that you have scope within. That way, that can, if you feel it's appropriate and that there are SSR issues related to things outside of the domain name system, it would be considered within scope.
Thank you, David. So anyway, this is how I framed the session. I thought it would be good just to have an open mic discussion and get input from the community that might help the review team as they move forward. So that was my intention for the setting up this session. And I certainly hope that review team members are in Copenhagen, can participate in the session, be part of the dialogue, and I will put something out on the list to see if there are review team members who want to volunteer to be the facilitators for the session. This is kind of a list of topics for the face-to-face meeting. I will add the other items that were raised today in terms of the leadership selection, discussing the role of observers, but this is kind of a rough outline of what I thought would be useful for the review team to follow at the face-to-face meeting. Now, I've also arranged briefing sessions in the afternoon. I've noted that there's a lot of similarities for what's going on in the CCP review that might be of use for this review team. So the vendors that are doing the DNS abuse study, the part two study for the CCP review, will be available and are planning on participating in the afternoon to provide an update on the research and what they're doing in that program so that you can be made aware of that. I also have the vendor that's doing the continuous data-driven analysis of root server system stability available, and they will be coming and provide an update on their research and what they are looking at. And then John Crane will be providing a little more of an overview of their department, what they work on, and what might be available for you. Now, my ask there is to think about new topics that might be of interest that you'd like briefing sessions on. David, do you have a new hand up or an old hand?
Old hand, sorry.
Old hand, okay. So anyway, that's kind of what I've got laid out. We can add more briefing sessions to other calls and meetings that we have based on the topics that you think you need more information on and proceed from there. One thing that you need to all think about, and with the ICANN board resolution on the 3rd of February, they named their liaison to the review team, and they also have an ask that they request that the team develop and deliver to the board their approved terms of reference and work plan by the end of March. So we need to start thinking about what that all will be, and we can set aside some time in Copenhagen to actually go in depth in terms of how you'd want to approach that. I do have some examples from other review teams. This is kind of from the CCT review team, the most recent one. So that what they lay out in their terms of reference, and they will have their actual term of reference circulated so you can think about that for how you'd want to draft something for SSR to discuss it and then proceed with that. And then in terms of a work plan, this is kind of the elements that you would want to identify in your work plan. So you have some sense of the path that you want to take for this review. So that was rather quick, but any other business from anyone? Any other questions? Okay, as I, Denise, you have your hands up?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me? Ah, great. Just quickly, thanks so much for this very useful material and discussion. When you send the slides to the list, could you also highlight in bullets the action items and outstanding issues that we have so that I think may help people address them on the email list before we get to Copenhagen? Thanks.
Okay, and I don't think I will circulate the slides. They will be posted on the wiki page, and I'll provide the link.
Great, thank you.
All right, any other questions, comments? I know there's a lot to think about as everyone prepares for the first face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. I'm actually looking forward to meeting everyone in person. And in particular, learning how to pronounce your names if I butchered it. So you can give me some lessons on that. I would appreciate it. And I think, you know, we've got a great group of people, and this is going to be, at least for me, a lot of fun. So thank you very much for volunteering and working through all of these things as we get started. Thank you all. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask the host on the list or contact any of the staff support.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.